ولله ملك السماوات والأرض. And for Allah is the kingdom of heavens and the earth. Kingdom means that Allah is the owner of them. Their ownership and authority is with Allah alone, for all that is in the heavens and the earth. If we look at king of a land, whose commands are followed in that land? The king's. So one who is the king of the entire universe, then whose commands should be obeyed? Ours or his? While the kings of this world have not created anything and have a temporary rule, while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the entire universe, and he maintains, he sustains, and everything is owned by him, then whose command should be obeyed? And when we learn that he has ownership of everything in the heavens and the earth, does that mean we are included? Yes. Then whose command should we follow? His. Also the earth and the land we live upon. Who is its owner? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we can leave and go somewhere else where he does not have ownership over, so we can leave and do as we will, where can we find such a place? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ar-Rahman to jinn and mankind, if you have ability to escape the heavens and the earth, you will not be able to. It takes a lot of strength. Then where will you go? Even the earth is in his ownership. Whatever command he gives and whatever fault man finds in it, go where you can go. But ultimately, who do you have to return to? Back to Allah. Then who will you have to answer to? Then how can man follow his own will? The king of the heavens and the earth is no one else except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then why fear others? And why question his commands? Where will man seek refuge? While heavens and the earth are his, will they give shelter? Bring another earth. Is there another like it where he does not have power and authority over? The Quran constantly reminds how we have to return back. No matter how far one goes, they have to return to Allah. While we forget and we run away, while we are the ones returning back to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِلَى اللَّهِ الْمَصِيرُ. To Allah is your return. Where will you escape? Then what should man do? Have to live for Allah. Have to die for him. Only for him should spend his life. Because we live upon his earth. We live under his sky. And our return is back to him. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives another example with which we can recognize our Lord. Pay attention to his signs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alam tara, didn't you see? Or more appropriately, didn't you consider or contemplate? Anna Allah yuzji sahaban. Indeed, Allah drives the clouds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assigned angels who drive the clouds, pushing them. ثُمَّ يُؤَلِّفُ بَيْنَهُ. Then joins between it, or joins them. One cloud cannot do anything by itself. Therefore, we can see clouds joined together. ثُمَّ يَجْعَلُهُ رُكَامًا. Then makes them layer upon layer. If anyone has traveled in a plane, they can remember how there are clouds layer upon layer. فَتَرَى الْوَدْقَ يَخْرُجُ مِنْ خِلَالِهِ. Then you see the raindrops coming out from between it. between these piled up clouds. وَيُنَزِّلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مِنْ جِبَالٍ And he sends down from the sky, from mountains. Mountains referring to the huge chunks of clouds. As when we see thick, dark clouds rising, they look like mountains. This is what is being referred to by mountains.
فِيهَا مِنْ بَرَدْ
In it from hail. He sends down from it hailstones. فَيُصِيبُ بِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ And makes to reach whom he wills. Meaning,
whomever Allah wills.
Sends hail upon them.
وَيَصْرِفُهُ عَمَّنْ يَشَاءُ
And turns away from whomever he wills. As we see in some places where hail is falling, and as the car continues on the highway, finds no sign of any hail, either drives through rain, then when continues on, there is no rain. The person driving feels surprised by such change. We learn an elaborate system of rain. We learn in science the systems of the water cycle. Of rain, of hail, or snow, how these systems work. Who makes these systems? To understand these systems, man needs to study them. And studying this can become worship. Sa'd bin Musayyib was asked which form of worship was superior. He said contemplating on the creation of Allah and understanding being. As we are studying about rain, someone can think we are studying science. Rather, we are studying mention of Allah's creation in the Quran, by which we will recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the sciences are knowledge of Allah's creation. And when we contemplate, after this study, have to recognize the Creator who created all the systems. And not just get lost in the creation itself. There are so many scientists who have gained knowledge about these matters, but they got lost in the creation and did not look behind them. Who was driving the clouds, the wind, and how the water is raised from the oceans, and how they go up, and how the clouds move onward. We also see that there is no chaos or noise. As when people have to work collectively, they make so much noise. But here, there is no noise nor chaos. The sky is so peaceful. And if there was noise, life would become difficult. If the skies were filled with noise, what would happen? Who gathers these clouds? As the sky is so vast, they could go off in any direction, but are gathered together, يُؤَلِّفُ بَيْنَهُ They are joined and made into stacks, and layer upon layer. Then they rain, not by a small cloud that brings rain.
الْوَدْقَ is the light rain when the clouds are layered.
This was stated 1400 years ago in the Quran by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see so many things that work together for rain. It's a teamwork. Even for one drop of rain to fall down, the sun has to work. The winds have to work. Even the sea lets go of its water. So much happens, then it rains. The water particles evaporate and form clouds. Then the clouds drive to a far-off land and rains where Allah wants it to rain. We do not realize who is one to raise the water, to drive the wind. We do not look at all the stages the water goes through for us to get the rain. All have to work together and are subservient to the commands of Allah. The sun doesn't refuse to shine. The seas do not dare to refuse letting go of their water.
Just as man becomes stingy in giving away anything from his belongings, it is the same water that flows in the rivers, the streams, and found in the form of snow upon mountains. It all evaporated from the sea, and the seas do not refuse or say, "I will only give this much water." Clouds bring so much snow that man gets tired from even clearing his own driveway. All the snow spread out at a mile's distance, carried by the clouds. And the hail, when they fall in a certain place, they cause so much damage. Windshields break, animals get killed. They damage crops and injure people. But they fall where Allah wills them to fall, and where Allah doesn't will them to fall, they do not fall there. And if the hail were not small balls, but blocks of ice, then what would happen? No one's roof would remain, nor anyone's property would be spared. The seas do this because it knows its tasbih, and is submitted to its Lord, and fears him in obedience. It doesn't complain, no matter how much water is taken from it, in form of evaporation. The air knows how much water to take in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants man to be this generous and opens doors to giving as these seas give up their water and take in as air takes in water. This entire system is being described as we learn about Nur. And when this Nur, which symbolizes knowledge, how is this knowledge mentioned? It is symbolized as rain. How will this knowledge spread? With collective effort, with teamwork, just as when rain falls and where it falls. Similarly, the wahi or revelation is sent down from the heavens, and when this knowledge has to be spread, then have to work together. Only then it will spread. Some people have to become the sun, some have to become the winds, some have to become the air, some have to become clouds. Everyone has to do some work. Only then it will be propagated. Someone has to become like the sea and present what it contains and has to become one to teach. Then one who will become to convey, one to support, someone to do computer work, and others who do other tasks. When everyone is engaged in work and working hand in hand, only then it can continue onward. Even in the seas of humans, Allah chooses some people, as in the seas, not all drops of water evaporate, but chosen ones, just as Allah chooses some people for His work. When everyone works together, then work gets done. The believers join together, and when they work together, do not want their own recognition. The sea is not mentioned, nor the air, nor the clouds. No one is mentioned. We only hear about the rain. Behind it were so many hands, yet no appreciation, no awards are handed out, but they still work. Similarly, when people serve and do work for the religion of Allah, they do not try to serve their own purpose, nor want to gain personal recognition. Everyone works together. Everyone works with a collective effort. If the cloud wanted to work by itself, or the sea wanted to work as a separate entity, cannot happen until all these work together. One has one type of expertise, another has a different expertise, and the third has its own expertise. They all use their expertise to do what they can, and in this case, only then it rains. And in people who want to work for the religion of Allah, whatever expertise one has, they should put their share in it. This is how the knowledge of deen or religion is spread. Example of rain explains this very well. If a person doesn't want to work with anyone, and they make excuses that they do not like so-and-so, or don't get along with so-and-so in this track, then how can anything be done or accomplished? When anyone comes towards this mission, they should leave their personal self behind. And they should leave that I do not get along with this or that person. Working for Deen of Allah should be paramount. And all personal likes and dislikes should be put on the side. Also, the task has to be completed. Not as the clouds are formed and then there is no movement and they do not do anything else. Rather, they should complete the work as the clouds. They rain where Allah has commanded for it to rain. Sometimes man has no purpose in life and if decides to do something and does not get along with others to do the work, and then arguments and disputes happen, especially when work of deen comes in. When one works with others, have to put themselves on the side, whether they get recognition or not. Just as the clouds join together layer upon layer, not keeping their own entity, get seen as one, work together as one. Until there is teamwork, nothing can be accomplished. When the clouds move and complete their work, sometimes man begins with a task, then leaves, and very few reach its completion. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, يَكَادُ سَنَا بَرْقِهِ يَذْهَبُ بِالْأَبْصَارِ. It is near. The flash of lightning takes away the sights. Sometimes lightning brings hope of rain, and then sometimes it strikes so much that feels like the sights will be snatched, and it becomes a source of fear. Even in the work of deen, those who dislike it, even if the disbelievers in their hearts is in awe, lightning in the clouds is such that it causes terror in people, one that blinds the sights. The water cycle teaches us so much, and if we learn lessons from it, we can work together in an organized way. And they all work quietly without loudness and do it calmly, so as no one knows what they are doing. Only when it rains, we see the efforts of seas, the clouds, the air working together. Otherwise, the sea doesn't show off that I donated this much water. Or today, you received water because of me. Or clouds saying, we came from so far and have reached tire to you with rain and should recognize our favor. They do not say anything. We learn so much from the creation of Allah. يُقَلِّبُ اللَّهُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ. And Allah overturns the night and the day. We see the coming of the day, the coming of the night, alternating each other. We have seen this since we were little. But a person who does not have eyesight and is blind, when one day they get their sight back and they see this alternation of the day and the night, they would find it to be amazing. They could see how there is bright light of day, and then utter darkness of night, and then again light, and sometimes days being long and nights being short, and then other times night being long and the day being short, turning over and over. Such a big change upon the skies and the earth. And it happens in minutes. Who is doing this? Some people say there is no God, or he has partners. Don't these elaborate systems tell them that there is only one God? don't they gain recognition of their Lord from them? Don't they see the obedience of the skies and the earth itself, and obedience of the clouds and the rain and the seas, and in coming of the day and night? Do we fail to see their obedience and how they work quietly? Day doesn't push night and say, "Go away, I'm here." Nor the night says, "You shorten me by this many minutes. And now I will take this many more minutes." We do not see them fight over their space or their territory. So one goes and the other comes as it is their turn. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَإِبْرَةً لِأُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ. Indeed, in this are surely a lesson, but not for everyone. Only ones who are possessors of sights, meaning those with insights. أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ means those who have insight. So we learn to gain lesson from this and understand. This only happens when a person thinks and contemplates. This is of superior form of worship.
Sayyid bin Musayyib said,
"This is superior form of worship, only when man has time to contemplate."
As Rabi'il al-Qasiyya said,
"When I hear Azan, I hear the call of the plains of gathering on the day of Qiyamah, where mankind will be called. And as in Azan, Hayya lil-Falah, Hayya lil-Salah, it said, when I see the sea, I remember the assembly on the day of Qiyamah as waves are one above another or next to each other. Just as mankind will be gathered next to each other." This is how they related matters to the hereafter. And this is what we should learn. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave intellect so we can contemplate. وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَ كُلَّ دَابَّةٍ مِّن مَّاءٍ. And Allah created all the creation with water. The base or main ingredient of every creation is water. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Anbiya, "We created every living thing from water. Then would they not believe?" So many of living creatures and creation upon this earth that we do not completely know about. If you look at birds, there are so many species, and each with a large population. Even if you look at one color of birds to another, all were created from water. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَمْشِي عَلَى بَطْنِهِ. And from them are those that walk upon its bellies, such as insects, worms, snakes, and fish.
وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَمْشِي عَلَىٰ رِجْلَيْنِ.
And from them are who walk upon their two legs, such as birds, kangaroos, and includes mankind.
وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَمْشِي عَلَىٰ أَرْبَعِ.
And from them are those that walk upon four, such as cattle and other animals that walk upon four legs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes them walk however He wills. If he wants someone to walk back, he can make them walk backwards. But man, he made walking straight with his head raised to see the power of Allah. So he made man walk this way. Whatever legs any creation was given is walking upon them. No one is complaining that they only got two and does not want to walk. No one has objections. Everyone is doing according to what is with them. Some are walking upon bellies, but do not complain
that why it has to walk upon its belly.
The creation is doing tasbih with whatever was given to it, and it is pleased with it. If man is given something to do, usually says, "If I had this, I would have done it," or "If I have certain conditions, would have done it." And the clouds, no matter what size each of them is, they are all carrying water. Some will have less, some will have more. We do not see or hear of complaints. يَخْلُقُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. He creates whatever He wills. No matter what design He created, his creation with, whether walking upon feet or its bellies. Any way Allah wills, just as He intends, then whose will supersedes in this universe? We do not even get the weather as we want. If we want rain, do not necessarily get rain. Or if we want to be sunny, it doesn't turn sunny. It is not according to our will. Everything is living according to the will of Allah. Then why doesn't man live according to the will of Allah? Everything is subjected to His commands. Why doesn't man submit to His commands? And no one objects to His will. Then how can man raise objections? Everything is as Allah wills. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدٌ. He does as He wills. And His will is in how He made them. We should think about how each one of His creation is walking. They are not all the same. Whose will was it to make them walk as they do? Why was the kangaroo made to walk on two and not on four? And why was the lion made to walk on four and not on two? Whose will was this? When man objects, does not understand and realize that who he is objecting to and speaking against. Who is he who created? Allah shows His creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't ask man for his advice on how to create these. Then will he ask what is appropriate in matters of deen, as what will be suitable in the 21st century, and then give commands accordingly? No, this is not how it is. Man has to submit and surrender to Allah and His commands, not according to how we think, or the commands there are according to our thinking. We do not want to correct our own thinking, so we think of commands to be according to our thinking, because of our pride in our own thinking. Those who are proud do not submit to the decree or the will of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Indeed, Allah is upon all things, all able and all powerful. لَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا آيَاتٍ مُبَيِّنَاتٍ. Certainly, we sent down clear ayat, verses. Right after mention of animals, why are ayatim mubayyinatim mentioned? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the animals any way He wills, in terms how they walk, how they eat, what they eat, and how they have to hunt, and how they have to do tasbih. Everything Allah inspired them with. Allah programmed them in their fitrah or nature. But man will send down knowledge from the heavens. Ayatim mubayyinatin are Quran, and they are clear, and those that open eyes, and explained clearly. There is no confusion in them. They are crystal clear. There is nothing doubtful. But Wallahu yahdi man yasha'u ila siratin mustaqim. The ayahs are clear, but not everyone gains guidance. Only one Allah wills to guide obtain the guidance. Allah chooses to give guidance. Whoever wants to come upon His guidance and wants to adopt the way of guidance and has a desire for guidance and wants to be on the straight path. One who wants to spend life upon the way of Allah that He chose for His slave. When one wants to walk upon the path that leads to Jannah. Siratul Mustaqim is the straight road to Jannah. And this is the desire within a person. When a person has this urge, then Allah shows them the way of guidance. This is something to be fearful about, because we should have the desire to be shown this way. As when we recite Surah Al-Fatiha and say, Ihdina Sirat Al-Mustaqim. After we make this dua, then starts Alif Lam Mim. Surah Al-Baqarah begins, and the entire Quran. The entire Quran is Sirat Al-Mustaqim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us the Sirat al-Mustaqim, but we should desire for Allah to help us walk upon it. Whoever Allah wills guides them upon it. In guide is showing the way, helping to walk upon the path and taking them to the destination. Some see the way and they say, no, this is a very difficult path. And they say, we cannot walk upon it, and they turn back. When there is no desire in a person for this path, then Allah doesn't force anyone upon this path. He has showed it to us and we can see it. But do we want to walk upon it? We must remember that this is not an easy way. It is difficult. Did we think it was an easy way? Just as we drive our cars upon the roads and reach the destination, this is not how it is. Just taking the highway is not enough. We have to keep on walking and walking upon the straight path without getting off or taking the exit. No matter if we find bumps or face difficulties, or even if the path is extremely dangerous, only when we stay continuously on the path, we reach the destination. And one who takes the exit doesn't reach it. This Quran shows us the way and is our GPS. When we see it, we say it is very difficult. But did we think Jannah was easy? Then we should know. In a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, when Jibreel ﷺ saw the path to Jannah, he said it was a very difficult road and very few would be able to walk upon it. The Prophet ﷺ told us that this way is difficult. We cannot think that we will be greeted and congratulated for being upon this path. The Prophet ﷺ told us that it will be difficult. Yes, there is an easy way, but it does not go to Jannah. It only goes to Jahannam. That is the way of desires, wishes, following own will and desires, and ease and comfort. That is very easy, but it doesn't take to this destination. We have to decide if we want to walk upon this path. If we want it, we have to ask Allah to help us to walk upon it. But in our hearts, there must be a strong desire for it and have the will. We have to walk upon this way, as the Quran tells us. Then we will reach Jannah. And we have to stay upon this road and not take any exits and not to take U-turns. Not everyone will gain guidance. Allahu yahdi man yasha'. Allah guides whom He wills. The ayat are clear and everyone can see it. Many have read the entire Quran and studied it, but have not left their false aqidah, their shirk, and they stay upon it. So whoever sees this way doesn't mean they will happily start walking upon it. Many will see it and do not take it. Just as many professors of universities who teach Islamic studies, they are not Muslims. They have studied Quran. So Allah guides whom He wills. A desire and du'as are needed. We ask du'a in every salah, but have to decide. And nothing should be so dear to us that we are willing to give up Jannah for. Jannah is our need, not a luxury, and our salvation. Just as breathing is for a living person, this is how Jannah should be for us. This is not that if we get it, it's okay, and if we do not, it's okay and no big deal. This is a necessity, because if we do not get Jannah, then there is no other place as a destination except Jahannam or Hell. So this is the only choice for us, and we cannot let it go at any cost. This is how determined we should be and should have an earnest desire for it. There is no way we should bargain in its place. Then we should look at our wants and desires and think if we should give up Jannah for them, only for appreciation or wows of people, to fit in with people. Should we give up our Jannah? No way. Problem comes when we think we will go to Jannah, spending our life as we want.
This is not how it works.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
give us the ability to understand these ayahs. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu wa la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Please listen to the recitation.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alam tara anna Allah yusabbihu lahu man fis samawati wal ardi wat tayru saffatin kullun qad alima salatahu wa tasbihahu wallahu alimun bima yaf'alun. ولله ملك السماوات والأرض وإلى الله المصير. ألم تر أن الله يزجي سحابا ثم يؤلف بينه ثم يجعله ركاما فترى الودق يخرج من خلاله وينزل من السماء من جبال فيها من برد فيصيب به من يشاء ويصرفه عن من يشاء يكاد سنا برقه يذهب بالأبصار. يقلب الله الليل والنهار إن في ذلك لعبرة لأولي الأبصار. والله خلق كل دابة من ماء فمنهم من يمشي على بطنه ومنهم من يمشي على رجلين ومنهم من يمشي على أربع يخلق الله ما يشاء إن الله على كل شيء قدير. لقد أنزلنا آيات مبينات والله يهدي من يشاء إلى صراط مستقيم.